This is the Well, Well, Well podcast with Cassandra and Britt, episode 88, What Happens When We Think Positively. Coaching is not all about thinking positively, at least not our kind. But let's just see what happens when we do think positively.
Well, 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 welcome to season 2 of the podcast. We can't think of anything better than conversations with our friends about all the wellness.
Let's chat about what the gurus are saying and enjoy a bev while we're at it.
We aren't experts, but we are your friends, and we are here with you.
We are so glad you joined us. Oh, hi.
Well, hello. How are ya?
Doing great. Doing great. We just got done with spring break. You had spring break a couple weeks ago.
I know. It's been a little wonky around here, but here we are. We're back.
Feels like school should be over.
I never really fully come back from spring break. I'm still mentally on spring break.
I don't think the kids do either. And both, we each have a kid home with some allergy situations, which, you know, very grateful for all the moisture and all the blooms we've got going, but a lot of stuffy noses up in here.
Yeah, man, did it bring some pollen.
Sure did. Okay, so tell me what you're drinking today, Anj.
Okay, so here's the deal. My husband's out of town. Last night, my 15-year-old daughter and I decide at 10 o'clock at night that we want Yogurtland. As I'm saying this, I'm just looking at my nutrition coach in the same screen and thinking, gosh, shame spiral right now. But listen, this is what happened. So we ordered ourselves Yogurtland last night at 10 o'clock at night. My tummy is on fire.
Oh,
and so I am drinking a Brew Doctor Kombucha Super Berry. I'm just sipping on it because you know how you feel. They're a little strong, but yeah. So I'm just sipping on some booch and hoping to just settle some things down.
Good call. Good call. That's interesting you say that. This doctor, he's a GI doctor, and I think he's so brilliant. His name's Will. I think his last name's pronounced Bolsewich, but I'm butchering that. He has this awesome book on gut health, and I've just been like dying over it. And there's a whole section on kombucha, and he actually says that. He says that kombucha can be really great and it can help with a lot of things, but you should dilute it. Either do it with soda water, which we naturally did. So I was really feeling good about us. Or you should do what you're doing. Just sip.
Yeah. Like if I wasn't running in here to record, I would have just mixed it with like a Topo Chico because that also sounded really good. Yeah. But I'm just going to take little sips.
Yep. Okay. Well, bravo.
And what did he say about ordering frozen yogurt at 10 o'clock at night? Does he say anything about that?
He doesn't. Well, I mean, if I'm going to be honest, he says so many things about dairy. So in a sense, he did cover that.
Well, I'm a case study. It ain't.
Hey, you know what? This is just what happens in real life. And we got to navigate these things and just makes us more relatable, you know?
Mm-hmm, definitely. Okay. Tell me what you're drinking. Cause I'm actually very excited about this.
Okay. I'm just giving you my Starbucks order today.
I know.
Which I do not do Starbucks very much anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's often disappointing. And, you know, I go through seasons, but I didn't have time this morning before I took my kids to school. And Tuesday mornings, I take a group of kids to Starbucks. And so I just ordered them myself. So I got a Frenta, so the big daddy-o of the green tea iced. And I did double tea, so like no water. Because I don't know if you people know this, but they do half tea, half water. That's what they do at Starbucks. Unless you say that. Yeah, you know that. I know you know that because we've been doctoring our green teas for a while, but many don't know. So when you're even on the app, you can look and you can say no water, and that will mean that you get double the tea because there's already so much ice. It gets watered down. So I feel like double tea is the way to go. So I did double tea, and then I've been doing the cold foam, the vanilla cold foam.
You're always so good about that cold foam.
So they do add sweetener, and I'm trying not to break my like intermittent fasting zone. And so you just have to tell them no sweetener in the cold foam. And they'll look at you kind of like, well, that's how we make it. And you're just like, yeah, no, that's okay. I don't want any. And then it's fine. And it's delicious. And sometimes I'll say today I did at the last second, I was like, will you just throw like a splash of coconut milk in there? So You can do it.
Okay. So Britt, tell us just like the order straight up. Like, what do you say to the speaker?
Trenta ice cream tea, no water, vanilla, cold foam, no sweetener, and a splash of coconut milk.
Sounds like a dream.
It's really good.
Yeah, that sounds so good. Okay, so let's get into it. I'm actually super excited about this today. I mean, I guess I always am, and I always say that. But this topic today feels like so clear to me, just so applicable to every person that I've been coaching lately, that I love that we're going to just kind of tease it out and get a little leverage on it, as you say.
One thing I was thinking is that when we're coaching people, we're hearing their thoughts, we're hearing things that are going on in their specific situation. And very often we're like, oh, you and everyone else is what, as coaches, we're thinking. You think it's unique to you. And it's usually, if that's where your thinking's been taking you, there are so many people that think about that the same way. Mm-hmm. And so when we're sharing some experiences from our coaching today, just know we're not calling any one individual out. Or like, we're sharing these because we feel like they're very relatable. And because so many of you will be like, oh, me too. Oh, that's how I think about it too. I didn't realize that that was just a thought. So that's kind of what we're trying to do today. Is it's kind of like when the teacher says, if you have a question, ask it. Chances are somebody else has the same question and they're just not brave enough to, it's the same idea, right?
Yeah, because when Britt emailed me about this topic, I instantly could think of like, oh, I didn't realize it necessarily in the moment, like you and everybody else, but like in the coaching moment, I mean.
Yeah.
But as I was looking at it, I was like, there's definitely a pattern of what people are saying.
Yes, there's a theme.
Mm-hmm. There's definitely a theme. So one of the things that we teach on here is that life is 50-50, right? It's 50% good, 50% not so good. And then the first thing that people want to do, the very first thing that they want to say to you is what, Britt?
Well, right. It's like you tell them life's 50-50 and they're like, okay, well, I'd rather not. Like, can't I shoot for 80-20? I would rather have like 80% good. I know some bad has to happen. I don't really want to have like a 50-50 experience.
Yeah. Like everybody wants to go for the 80-20, right? Or I've even had some clients say like, no, mine is 80-20. And I'm like, great. You are completely allowed to want that. But we have found that the downside to that is that when you actually accept that it's 50-50 and you don't try to resist the negative side of life, you are happier.
Yeah, that actually does bring you closer to an 80-20. It's not that those things, those 50% like not so great things aren't still happening. It's just that you're not resisting them.
Yeah. So if you want to believe it's 80-20 and that thought is like just totally available to you, you are allowed to think that. However, when something is tough, instead of trying to force the 80-20, just see what it feels like to allow the 20% to be a 50% not so good and just see how it feels inside of you and beyond yourself. Because are you trying to force positivity or are you allowing yourself to feel the negative like all the way through your body? Because if you're trying to force the positivity to get to the 80-20, then I'm pretty sure you're in a 50-50 anyways, because you're doing a lot of thinking about, I got to make it 80-20.
Yeah. Well, you're doing a lot of resisting or pretending or.
So we want you to just like not resist the emotions, to be in a space where you're comfortable allowing any emotion, both positive and negative. But today we're going to focus on the positive and just see what happens when we allow the positive.
Yes.
So Britt, what does that look like in your coaching?
One of the things we do in coaching is we take a look at your story, and within your story is usually some thinking. And often the client doesn't realize that their story is a bunch of thoughts, right? Like they think they're telling you facts. They think and to give you an example, if I had a client that told me, you know, I work full time and when it's mealtime, when it's time to eat, it's just really hard. It's just like a big challenge. It's so, super complicated to find good things to eat. And then they just, you know, keep telling me their story. So today, da 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 da. No, what they don't realize is they think they're just telling me a fact. Figuring out what to eat is so hard and complicated. But that sentence right there is a thought. And it's good to know that, because when I showed this to a client, she was kind of like, well, wait, I think most people that I know would agree with me on that. Like, I do think that for the most part, it's hard and it's kind of complicated to figure out what you're going to eat each meal. And so then I kind of said, okay, well, so let's just sit and think about it for a minute. Can you think of anyone who might not feel that way?
Yeah.
Right? Let's just get curious. Like, is it possible that there are people who don't think about it that way? And then when you start thinking about that, it's like some people come to mind. Well, yeah. But so now all of a sudden, when I start thinking about all those people that it doesn't seem hard and complicated for, then my next instinct is to start think, well, then what's wrong with me?
Mm.
What's wrong with me that I can't figure it out? And so again, that's a thought that causes a feeling like judgment, and judgment feels terrible. And so my guess is from the thought, it's so hard and complicated, we probably feel frustrated, and that probably doesn't lead to us making great choices. And also from the thought, what's wrong with me that I can't figure it out? That feels, you got judgment going there. That probably also doesn't lead to making better choices. So just an awareness that that's how we're thinking about mealtime can kind of just give us like pause, like, oh, wait a second. I'm putting it in a category right now, but we are like those two thoughts we could consider more on the negative line of thinking. Right. There are a little more negative thinking about mealtime. And so you could keep those thoughts and just decide like a healthy protocol that you're going to stick to. And you could still think about it that way and do the healthy protocol anyway, right? Kind of mind over matter.
Uh-huh.
But at least in my life, when I've tried doing that with things, like I've tried doing that with some organizing things where I've been like, nope, we fold it, you know, we do it this way, and this is what the drawer should look like, and this is how we stay consistent, and it's mind over matter. It doesn't always last. It's like a thing I do for a little while, but then it fizzles.
Yeah.
Because my underlying thought is it's so hard to stay organized, or it's so hard. And in this situation with food, it's so complicated and it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes it a little harder to stick with long-term. So in my coaching example, I would say like, maybe we're not going to go all the way to eating is easy and fun. Like maybe if you think it's hard and complicated, right, and you think you're just telling me a fact and I tell you what's something else you could, okay. So easy and fun might feel like, yeah, I don't feel that way at all, you know? So what my challenge and question would be is, what would you like to feel about mealtime?
What is
it that you'd like to think or feel about it? If you could choose. And then you go a step further and say like, okay, so if you want to feel that way about mealtime, what do you think you'd have to be thinking? Right. And it just allows you to kind of think like, okay, I guess I could consider a more positive thought. You don't have to, but you could consider it. And let's just say that you thought about mealtime like something you look forward to and were excited about and had prepared for, or something you're really going to enjoy, or me time, like a little self-care, a little self, not an inconvenience, but almost like an opportunity to take care of yourself for a minute. Like,
right.
If you could make some of those little shifts, you might just feel different about the experience of mealtime.
Oof, take that in.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. So you're saying just the fact of recognizing that whatever you're telling yourself is a story.
Yeah. It's just,
and it's like, is that story the one that is driving the actions that make you love this part of your life, or not even love, but just like not overcomplicate this part of your life that, I mean, eating is just how we live.
Right.
It's like not going anywhere.
It could be less.
We might as well come up with some better thoughts around this thing that's there, right?
Yeah. It's not something we're going to be able to just not do.
Right.
And so it's an option to just be like, I could make this less miserable. Like, yes. This could be a less miserable experience if I want it to be. And then you really ask yourself, well, do you want it to be? Because usually what happens is we're holding so fast onto our beliefs about mm-hmm. ourselves. Like, no, it is hard for me. It is complicated to me.
Yeah. Okay?
Well, those beliefs are just thoughts that you've practiced over and over and over again.
Absolutely. And they feel like a fact to you.
Right.
They just feel like the way it is.
So my favorite way to explain what to do with this is like, think about it like a loose tooth. Like you know, when your little kid has a loose tooth, you just start wiggling it a little bit and it's kind of uncomfortable. It actually kind of mm-hmm. hurts a little bit, but it's a little bit of a feel good hurt.
Like when you push a bruise.
Yeah. And you just kind of like keep messing with it and you keep kind of like loosening it until eventually it comes out and it actually feels like a big relief when you finally get it out. And that's kind of how this is. This is like, oh, this is a belief you've had and you don't love how it's impacting your life. Let's just start wiggling it a little bit.
Yeah. Let's loosen it up. Let's see what happens. Let's see how much space we can create around it.
Yeah, totally. So, okay. Tell me how this works in your coaching, spiritual stuff.
So I really like that, Britt. And I could definitely wiggle some of my teeth around eating and nutrition and all of those things. Definitely. I have some embedded stories that feel like facts to me for sure. Yeah. Okay. I mean, it's the first thing that we do, right? When we come into this world is we're like, where's the food?
Yeah.
And so it is, our beliefs start so young that I think that's part of the reason why it feels like facts.
Totally.
And because we connect our food beliefs with how we feel about our bodies.
Yep.
It's really hard to separate the two and you don't even need to, but those are just given to us so young.
Given to us so young, modeled for us so young. People serve us up thoughts to think so young. Mm-hmm. Eating healthy is expensive. Like, I mean, we could go down the list of things that I've heard. It runs my family. It's too hard. I can't eat like that. Like all these different things that we don't realize are just beliefs we've been served from a very early point. Mm-hmm. They are worth becoming aware of if you want to have it feel different and have the experience of that be different. And so, that's just one way of kind of like taking a look at it. And honestly, they're quite relatable. And I would love it if any of the listeners feel totally different about mealtime. You should DM us and tell us all your, the way you think and feel about mealtime. It'd be so fun to share some of those to give people other ideas.
Oh yeah. Just different thoughts that you can have around it. I love that idea.
Yeah.
Okay. So in my spiritual coaching, there's some things that I have noticed, and a lot of what comes to me is people who feel confused.
Yeah.
They don't know where to start spiritually. And they want to spin in like indecision or shame or disappointment in themselves. And they just can't quite figure out what they want to do. And so they'll come to me and they'll be like, I want to create a spiritual practice, but like, I don't know where to start. I don't have any idea what to do. I'm a spiritual person, but this gets in the way, like blah, 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 blah. There's a lot of different things, but the core thought that they are having is, I don't know what to do. And so the first thing I like to remind them of is that they do know what to do because they're already doing it. If you don't know what to do and you already placed a phone call with a spiritual coach, then you did know what to do, right? You already took that first step. They already booked a call. They heard something that resonated with them and then they followed their gut and they booked a call.
Yep.
Right? Whether it's with me or whether it's with somebody else, it doesn't matter. It means that I just say to them, well, look at that. Like, let's look at that. You want to say that you don't know what to do, but it looks like you possibly do. So if we're looking at this from like a positive lens and from like a positive place, there was an opportunity available to them and they took it.
Yeah.
So I kind of just like to offer that to them. Instead of spinning in your shame and sorrow about how incapable you are of coming up with a spiritual practice, you already did it.
Yeah.
You like, already took the first step.
Let's build some evidence. Like if we were looking for evidence that you do know what to do, here's mm-hmm. one piece.
Here's one piece. And yeah. so what I like to offer to them is this thought. I do know where to start. I'm doing it right now. So that is one thought that they can have. And then I'll ask them, like, does that feel true to you? Does it feel like that could be true to you? And you said that you don't seem to know what to do, but to me, it looks like you're doing it.
Yeah.
Because something prompted you to make a call and to take an action that felt like going towards this result that you want, which is to create a more spiritual life and a spiritual practice. And so then we just say like, so how does the thought, I do know where to start, I'm doing it right now. Like, how does that thought make you feel?
Yeah.
And just that simple tweak of the word do or don't.
Yeah.
You know, it's so simple. It's the same sentence. I don't know where to start. I do know where to start.
Yeah. I mean, really, that's a full turnaround. That's a full 180.
It's a full 180. And so instantly, like what we say is like, oh, instantly when you have that thought, like your shoulders aren't up by your ears so much anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, like maybe you unclench your jaw a little bit.
Yeah.
I know. And your chest loosens a little bit. You can kind of take a breath and go, oh yeah, I am doing it. Okay. So instead of keep thinking that, now my mind is able to move forward towards the results that I want.
Yep.
So another example would be, I've had a few clients recently and they tell me that their house is not where they want it. It's not, they want it to feel differently. You know, I really try to create sanctuary environments and that's what they want. So they're coming to me and they say like, my house is out of whack. And I say, so when you have that thought, how do you feel? And that thought will usually feel like a shame or disappointment or like even anger, mm-hmm. you know, and like they want to blame.
Yep.
Like, well, it wouldn't be out of whack if, you know, we could afford a bigger house.
Yep.
There's like all of these things.
My kids or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. External that they want to blame it on.
Yep.
Right. The kids, they don't have enough organization bins, the anger that the house isn't the one they want, those kind of feelings. So then we say, so those feelings, what do they generally propel them into? And it's usually like yelling at the kids to clean up, at least in my house, that is snapping at your partner, feeling like you don't want to cook the healthy meal because what's the point? Everything's out of whack.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, going to your type of coaching, food and cooking is such a big part of creating a sanctuary in your home. And so it's really important. So from there, when the client is ready, we can come up with some more positive bridge thoughts. And one of my favorite tools for this is to say your sentence in your head, the thought that's in your head. So in this case, it's my house is out of whack. And then at the end, I like to tell them, pause. And that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not doing a total 180 on the thought. It's really allowing that negative 50-50. My house is out of whack and that's okay. And again, you can start to feel a loosening in your shoulders, a loosening in your chest, wherever you usually create or trap your negative emotion. And it'll start to ease up a bit if you add, and that's okay, onto the end.
Okay. So if I'm a client and I'm doing that, then part of what I'm thinking is, okay, I do see how that relaxes it a little bit and makes me feel better, but I also want my house to change.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, do you find that by doing that, by softening it a little bit, it leads to potentially getting it less out of whack?
I absolutely do. Because if you say at the end, and that's okay, and you can loosen up about it a bit.
Yeah.
Generally, that is going to promote the things that you are looking for. So if you allow that it's okay,
Yeah.
Then when you go into your kids' play area and it's crazy, you're less likely to snap at them. You're still going to make them clean it up because you are motivated to get them to clean it up. But yeah. You're not going to do it with the shame and the blame and the disappointment and the anger.
Yeah.
You're going to do it from a place of acceptance.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. It's almost like what we were saying in the beginning, where if you're resisting, it's like if you're resisting that your house is out of whack, then it puts you in a very disempowering position.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you just kind of accept that that's where you're at right now, then it's kind of like, okay, what next? What now? Instead of it being, it's out of whack and here's all the reasons and anger and frustration and all these different things. It's like, yeah. Yeah, period. It's out of whack and it's totally okay. What mm-hmm. now?
And what now? Yeah. And yeah. So that's kind of the thing that I like them to think about, because when they add that, it leads to the different feelings, which is propelling them into a different action.
Yeah.
And they still think that the house is not the way that they want it. So they still want to create change.
Yeah.
But it's change from a place of more positivity and acceptance, and not like, I'm going to change this because I suck.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to change this because my kids are spoiled brats.
Yeah.
Like, not from that place. It's, I'm going to change this because this is where we're at in our life right now. And I want to change it.
Yeah. Or like, I wonder what 20 minutes of spending some time in this area might do. You know, you just feel a little bit more open to what you could potentially create when it's not so heavy. Like, it is interesting how different one of the examples you gave us was the full 180, and the other one is just kind of like the tooth loosening, just like a little softening. What if we do something so that that's not such a dramatic statement?
Yes. Like, my house is out of whack is like a very dramatic statement.
Yeah. Yeah. And
I think you're right. But I think it's like that tooth loosening, like you're saying, because suddenly when my tooth is a little loose and I've wiggled it, I'm more open and curious. And, you know, I know you and I both like to ask our clients, like, what else is true about it?
Yeah.
So if the circumstance is just that you have a house.
Yeah.
One of your thoughts is, my house is out of whack. But what other thoughts do you have about your house? What else feels true to you?
Why is all of our focus and energy going into just that one thought you have about it, when mm-hmm. I'm sure if you didn't have a house, you'd want that house, right? So it's like, okay, well, so then what are the reasons? What are the other things you see and experience there, you know?
Right. So as we're saying, like, you don't want to resist the 50-50. You don't want to resist the negativity of it.
Yep.
Of what's going on. But when you do allow it, you actually are more expansive to positivity.
Yes.
And so what we're saying is, how does that positivity propel you into actions that you actually like?
Yeah. Yeah. And even though it's not all about being positive, when we can flip the switch, look at the results. Look how much it shifts our results. And so it's just kind of asking yourself, like, is that available to you? And if it's not right away, if you can't do the 180, can you start wiggling the tooth? Can you just start loosening it and considering it and, you know, hedge your way in that direction? Even if you never make it all the way there, let's say back to the eating thing, even if you never make it all the way to mealtime is my favorite. I love cooking and prepping meals. Like, even if you never make it to that, if it's just not the opposite extreme, then you just have a better experience surrounding that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's what we have for you guys today. Little food for thought.
A little food for thought. You know what that makes me think of, Britt? It would be fun if we, and you guys tell us what you think, but it could be kind of fun to combine some of the things that we're saying, like your cooking and nutrition, with like what that feels like in a home when you're trying to create more of a sanctuary like feeling. And how can we create a more positive experience around the eating where it doesn't feel like deprivation and it doesn't feel like, here I go again, stuffing my face, or shame, right, or guilt or pain.
Right. Yeah, no, I think those things can really go hand in hand. And so many family experiences and household memories are surrounding meals, that they definitely go hand in hand.
Yeah. Cause what I was thinking also is we have associated so much of our food and our eating and our meals with how we look and how we feel, that we've kind of separated from what the experience of it actually is,
right,
and the importance of it.
Right.
So that could be kind of fun.
Yeah. Love that. Hey, tell us what you guys think.
Yeah. Tell us what you guys think. And we have just enjoyed coaching you so much. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts. It's been so much fun to get to know so many of you. And I still have my free coaching calls open until the end of April, hopefully. And so we want to hear from more of you. You can follow either of our links and schedule a call with us.
Yes. And you know, you can always come find me over at Mind Body Brit if you want to talk more about all of the health stuff. So thanks.
Yeah. And is your website up, Brit?
Yeah, my website is up. So you can like go check that out too. That's mindbodybrit.com. If you go over to my Instagram, there's a link tree with everything right there too. So you can just find it all in one spot.
Yep. 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 She's got some really good coaching packages available and you should go look at them.
Yep. All right. Awesome. You guys, so glad to be with you and that you spent some time with us. Hope you have a wonderful day. Be well.
Be well.